These days, it's not unusual for an actor or an athlete receiving an individual award to acknowledge their supporting cast, those that help them to achieve the honor bestowed upon them. Such acknowledgments have sometimes gotten so long that the producers of the award shows have to limit the time and you hear the music start before they're done listing everybody that they want to thank. Now, many consider Paul the greatest New Testament character outside of Jesus himself. And I imagine that if the apostle were awarded something along those lines, he would probably thank his supporting cast of men and women who assisted him in various ways and times throughout his career. He actually does this in several of his letters, particularly the letter to the Romans. Paul saw his ministry as a partnership, not a one-man show. Now, among those Paul would list, I'm sure, would be Barnabas, Silas, Timothy, Luke. He would also list a husband and wife team that are introduced in Acts chapter 18, Aquila and Priscilla. The name Aquila is Latin for eagle. We're told that he was born in Pontus, which is on the southern shore of the Black Sea, and that he had migrated at some point to Italy. The name Priscilla is actually a diminutive form of Prisca, which is her formal name. You'll see that listed as such in a couple of places. Luke calls her Priscilla. Paul addresses her as Prisca, same lady. It's kind of like Frank and Frankie, okay? That's how that name was in the ancient world. It's conceivable that she may have came from a great, well-known, well-established Roman family, the gens Prisca. And if that's the case, that may be that she came from a higher social level than her husband did. That may be a reason why she's named first in at least half of the occasions where they are listed together in the New Testament. Or it may be that she was just a stronger personality of the two and was a devoted leader and witness. Now, their names appear in only a few pages of Scripture compared to powerful prophets and dynamic leaders that stride through the Bible, calling down fire from heaven or evangelizing throngs in the thousands. We would consider these two ordinary people. Yet Priscilla and Aquila had a lasting impact on the lives of untold numbers of people. They were partners in life and in ministry. And tonight I'd like to look at a few ways in which these two ordinary people became extraordinary by serving the Lord right where they were. First, we see that they were an encouraging couple. From previous studies, we know that Paul had been through some rough times when he arrived at the city of Corinth, and he needed encouragement. And you find this first in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Luke explains that Aquila and Priscilla had recently come to Corinth from Rome because the emperor Claudius had expelled the Jews from Rome. This is actually attested in Roman history. The historian Suetonius referred to this in the Life of Claudius. It says the Jews were making constant disturbances at the instigations of Crestus. And so Claudius banned them from Rome. And most historians and theologians believe that Crestus was a corruption of the word Christ. Probably what happened was Jews came back to Rome from Pentecost, having heard Peter and the disciples preach about Jesus. Some of those 3,000 who were baptized that day probably went back to their homes in Rome and began telling their fellow Jews about Jesus. Now, we know from what Luke records in the book of Acts what happened when Jesus was introduced into a Jewish synagogue. You immediately had some who believed and some who did not, and those who did not didn't take very kindly to those who did. So I'm sure there were these disturbances. And quite honestly, most Romans were kind of anti-Jew anyway. There was a lot of anti-Semitism that kind of ran through the Roman population. And so it was not unusual for them to be banished, get out. And so Claudius had kicked them all out of Rome. So they have been forced out of their home, and they arrive in Corinth. Paul has come from Athens, which was probably intellectually and maybe emotionally rather draining. He's had kind of a rough time. He was beaten in Philippi unjustly, actually illegally. He was run out of town in Thessalonica, run out of town in Berea. He gets to Athens and kind of gets a lukewarm reception there. I'm sure that he needed some encouragement. And so he finds a couple that at least Aquila is Jewish. We don't know if Priscilla was Jewish or Roman, but certainly he was. And it says that they were tent makers. Now, literally in the Greek, it says leather workers. I know we always associate Paul as a tent maker. It could have been tents, but it could have also been other things made of leather at that time. Some think that in Corinth, he'd have probably been more apt to be making sails for ships than necessarily tents. But whatever it was, they had a similar trade, and so they worked together. And Priscilla and Aquila welcomed him into their home and gave him a place to make a living and to begin his ministry there. Now, in no place is this couple claimed by Paul as converts. In fact, when you get into the Corinthian letters, Paul says that Stephanas and his household were the first converts in Corinth. And yet you see Priscilla and Aquila as really towers of strength for the apostle. They were an encouraging couple to him. Second, they were an entertaining couple, not in the sense of being humorous, but in the sense of being hospitable. Theirs was an open house. Not only did they welcome Paul into their business and most likely into their home, they later opened their home to the church. If you'll move down in Acts 18, down to verse 18, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time. Then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went to the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with him, he declined. But as he left, he promised, "I will come back if it is God's will." Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. Priscilla and Aquila had become such a valuable asset to Paul that he asked them to accompany him when he left Corinth and arrived at the strategic city of Ephesus. Now, after spending a short time there, Paul left Ephesus. He was heading back home. He wanted to arrive at Jerusalem, perhaps to celebrate the Passover there. We're not exactly sure. Probably to complete this vow he had taken, where it says he had his hair cut off. We talked about that in our last message. It may have been a Nazarite vow, and it was completed, so he cut the hair, and the hair itself was offered as an offering in Jerusalem. So he may have wanted to do that. He also wanted to get back to Syrian Antioch and report to the home church about what the Lord had done in Macedonia and Greece. And so he leaves this faithful couple behind. Now, in Paul's absence, Priscilla and Aquila helped oversee the ministry at Ephesus and helped establish it as a beachhead for the gospel in Asia. And in doing so, they contributed to the founding of one of the most important churches you see in the first century. Ephesus was an outstanding church planted by the Apostle Paul, ministered to by no less than Timothy later on, and ultimately the Apostle John. And Ephesus became a real hub of Christianity in those early years. Priscilla and Aquila were very much at the ground level of that church getting started. Later on, when writing to the Christians in Corinth from Ephesus, he sent greetings from Priscilla and Aquila, who had the church in their home. You see that in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. So they opened their home there in Ephesus so that the church could meet in it. Understand that in the early years, they did not have separate church buildings. Congregations met in people's homes. And Priscilla and Aquila opened their home and allowed the Christians in Ephesus to meet there. That's where that church began. That's something that my family can attest to. The church that I grew up in, and we really learned so much from, was started in the basement of somebody's home. They literally began the church in a home. And then as it grew, eventually had to get a place of its own. But that was very common in those days. And we see that Priscilla and Aquila opened their homes and said, come worship with us. You can come here. They were given to hospitality. By the time Paul wrote to the Romans, Priscilla and Aquila had returned to Rome. And in Rome, as in Ephesus, they had a church in their home, which also Paul had sent greetings to. So they were an entertaining couple in that way. Say, well, how can we follow that lead? We don't necessarily need to begin a church in our basement or in our backyard, but our homes can provide a natural setting for encouragement and ministry. The scriptures tell us, practice hospitality. In Romans 12, 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. In Hebrews 13, 2. Now, it doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be impressive. The love of Christ and the warmth of Christian fellowship can be felt while using paper plates in the family room. It doesn't have to be exquisite. In fact, you can go into a place that's very ornately furnished, and everything is just so, but there's a coldness to it. How much greater to get together with some friends in a warm atmosphere where you don't care what you're eating on necessarily, if it's paper plates or styrofoam or whatever. Just opening your home can be a great encouragement to traveling preachers, to missionaries, maybe to folks in your neighborhood. You know, it's a sad thing in our day and age. We don't know our neighbors anymore. They might live 10, 20 feet from us, but we don't know them. Maybe invite them over. Open your home, open your heart, and it may lead them to Christ. Also, you can think of a pastor, a ministry director, Christian worker, who could become more effective in their ministry with your help. And here we're not necessarily talking about having them to your home, but asking questions like, what can I do to help you this week? What things tend to keep you from doing your best at what you need to do? How can I help you to be more effective? That's the kind of people Priscilla and Aquila were. You may have never seen them up front in their congregation at home. They may have never preached a sermon. I had one good friend of mine who argued in college that he thought Priscilla was the author of the book of Hebrews. Kind of an interesting idea. I don't know if there's a whole lot of weight to it, but for the most part, they were in the background. They weren't always up front, but they had a big impact for the people of that those congregations. It's very encouraging to a pastor or ministry leader to get such offers of help. Just to say, you know what, pastor, we'll take care of this. You don't have to. Or to that ministry leader, here, let me help out with that. I'll tell you one of the greatest things I hear when I go and visit folks that are maybe in the hospital or in a nursing home or folks that are in their homes and they can't get out. And so we go and visit them. to hear them say, oh, so-and-so from the church came by last week, or such-and-such made a call, and I got to talk to him on the phone for a while, and it really, really made my day. I think that is so great. It's so awesome that people in the church, they expect me to do that. I mean, I get paid to do that. You folks can, you know, do that for nothing. And I honestly believe it means more when it's from, and don't take this wrongly, just a church member. I don't mean that to be condescending, but when it just comes from one of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I think it means more than when the preacher does it. And to hear, as I have, of folks in this congregation that reach out and they visit the sick, they visit the shut-ins, they'll call them on the phone. You know, you may not be able to go, but you can call them. And so often that just makes the day for that person that's lonely. Sometimes they're just flat bored. And to be able to share with them, I'll tell you, it warms my heart. I know it does theirs as well. Priscilla and Aquila willingly assumed responsibility when their help was needed. And they took initiative, ministering to Paul and to others. What a delight they must have been to the apostle, and as their kind are to many who are fortunate enough to have them in a church family. And then finally, they were an equipping couple. You see this down towards the end of the chapter, on Acts 18, beginning in verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. Here's a young man that comes into Ephesus. He was a Jew from Alexandria, Egypt. Very scholarly man, very learned man. Alexandria was a hub for Jews in the early centuries in the Roman Empire. In fact, Alexandria had the second largest Jewish population in the world, second only to Jerusalem. It was in Alexandria that the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Hebrew New Testament, had been translated. And there was a lot of Jewish scholarship that came out of Alexandria. Somewhere along the way, Apollos had heard about Jesus. He knew about him, but his knowledge was incomplete. What he taught was true. It just wasn't the whole story. Now notice what Priscilla and Aquila did. They didn't embarrass him. They didn't come up to him in front of everybody and said, you know what, you're a good kid, but you got a lot to learn. You know, yeah, that's not bad, but I think we can help you understand a little more. Now that was true, but they handled it with great tact. They instead said, hey, why don't you come on over for dinner? They may not have said anything at all in front of everybody else that Apollos was lacking in some of his knowledge. They just invited him for dinner. And then over dinner, they said, you know, your preaching is very good. It's accurate. But there's more to the story you haven't heard yet. Let us tell you about that. And they did. They instructed him. They filled in the gaps where he lacked knowledge. And he became an even better preacher because now he had the whole story. But they did so with love, and they did it with tact. They did it with graciousness. You know, some Christians would have branded him a heretic, would have nothing to do with him. Get him out of here. But not Priscilla and Aquila. They invited him in, and they instructed him. very informally. I'm sure they didn't make a big deal out of it. Probably nobody else in Ephesus knew what they were doing. But they brought him in, and they helped him out. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." That's how you multiply the church. You take what you've learned and you invest it in somebody else so that they can go and reach others. That's exactly what Priscilla and Aquila did here. But they didn't stop there. Apollos wanted to move across the Aegean and proclaim Christ in the province of Achaia, the capital city of Corinth. It says the brothers encouraged him. They wrote to the disciples there to welcome them. They didn't hold on to their young preacher, who by all accounts was a really good speaker. They said, "No, we want you to go." They sent him on to another ministry. My guess is that Aquila and Priscilla probably wrote some of those letters because they had been to Corinth. The folks there would recognize them. And they're saying, "We're vouching for this guy. He's good. Listen to him. He's going to help you out." And you'll see that Priscilla and Aquila, rather than jealously holding on to Apollos, they found great delight in sending him on so that he could minister in another place. I'm sure they were involved in preparing the way for him in Corinth. And you'll see the results in verse 28. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God made it grow." Apollos had an important ministry to that church in Corinth that I suggest would never have happened had it not been for Priscilla and Aquila. Had they not reached out to him, taken him in, and instructed him, he may not have had the impact that he had in Corinth. By the way, I believe Apollos wrote the book of Hebrews. So we may not have had that book either if it were not for this couple who shared their gifts, opened their hearts, opened their homes. I think this is a beautiful example of what Paul says in Ephesians 4:12, equipping the saints for their works of service. I personally believe that is the mission of the local church, to equip the saints for their ministry. Just as with Paul, this is not a one-man show. The point of the church is to come together to be instructed, to be equipped, to be encouraged, to be energized, and then we go out and we minister outside these walls. I think it's a great fallacy to think that if we build it, they will come. Not in this culture. I'm not sure if they will in any culture, but certainly not this one. And that's not our commission. Our commission is not let them come. Our commission is go. But as we learned this morning, how can they go unless they are sent? And how can they go unless they're equipped? How can they go unless they're instructed? That's what the church is all about. Many a leader feels overwhelmed by the task of preparing God's people for ministry. I mean, how can all of the needs for discipleship be met by one person? What a joy to be a part of a ministering team, to have others who are involved in ministry. Even if they never stand up behind a podium, they maybe never teach or preach a sermon, but they're still involved. They're still encouraging, they're entertaining, they're instructing, they're equipping. And there are many practical ways to do this. Being a part of a small group study, meeting one-on-one with someone, maybe over breakfast or lunch, inviting folks into your home, asking them to come along with you as you minister. If you go and visit folks in the hospital, take someone along that's never done it before. Show them how they can do it, but also show them the joy that that can bring. I can't tell you how many times I have gone to visit folks and to encourage them, I come out more encouraged. So bring them along, show them. Help them take advantage of special training opportunities, maybe a conference or something they can go to. Provide encouragement and skills for ministry. Make resources available to someone who maybe couldn't afford it. You may never be a public speaker, you may never be a pioneer missionary, but by helping train others for Christian service, you can make an eternal difference wherever God has placed you. And that's what happened with Priscilla and Aquila. Wherever they were, Rome, Corinth, Ephesus, they were involved in ministering to people for the Lord. A change in zip codes did not change their commitment. They served the Lord wherever they were needed. Today it's common to shop around for a church that'll meet our needs. I think the example of Priscilla and Aquila encourages us to look for a place where we can serve. Wherever we find their names in the New Testament, we see extraordinary people with a desire to serve and a great commitment to the Lord. We see them opening their homes to others, accepting responsibility, equipping others for effective ministry, serving behind the scenes wherever and whenever they're needed. The Lord needs people today who will invest their lives in that kind of service, not just on the stage, but behind the scenes. Not just in exceptional ways, but in ordinary, everyday ways. Like Priscilla and Aquila, by His grace, we can become everyday people who have a lasting influence in Christ's kingdom. They were an important part of Paul's team, and he thanked God for them. They're a good example of how lay ministers can help further the work of the Lord. Every pastor, every missionary thanks God for people like Priscilla and Aquila. People with hearts and hands and homes dedicated to the work of the Lord. And I am thankful for so many of you who are involved in this church, far beyond just showing up on Sunday, but in your giving of yourselves, your time, your talents. In all these ways, you make this church what it is. I cringe to hear, and I'm thankful that I don't hear it very often, people refer to Texas Christian Church as, oh, that's Scott Marsh's church. No, it is not. It is first and foremost the Church of Jesus Christ, and it is ministered to by all of the congregation, not just one. That's the way church ought to be. And I would encourage you, if you're not already, find a way that you can get to work in the ministry of this church. Encouraging others, equipping them, reaching out. You can make a difference. God has given you His Spirit and gifts, and all He wants is your willingness. Would you join the team that's ministering for the Lord? Would you bow with me as we close in prayer? Father, we are thankful that You have included in Your written revelation examples like Aquila and Priscilla, who served You wherever they went. They may have never been up front in leadership, but they were always behind the scenes. They were encouraging. They were opening their hearts and their homes. They were equipping. Father, may we follow their example so that together we would see You do great things in this community. We give You all the glory and honor for whatever this church has accomplished because it is through You, but You choose to work through Your people. And I am thankful for this church family and their commitment to You. I pray that it would continue. I pray that it would encourage others to do so. And that it would grow so that again You would receive the honor and the praise. For You alone are worthy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.